right, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. And Anita Marks in my first OTA for this summer. How about that, Paul Dottino?
You know, I think the way things are going out there with the quarterbacks, they might need you to throw some passes, Miss Marks, because they've been a little erratic during
really?
The course of the spring. Yes, they have. But so, in any case, it's great to see you.
So we welcome you in again. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino with you for the next hour. Phone lines will be open. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. You want to get in? Now's the time to do it. We're going to have some fun for the next hour. As I said, this is kind of my first OTA. So I'm pretty anxious, excited to see practice, to see the quarterbacks. Eli Manning, I think, a little bit ahead of schedule in regard to his ankle situation. Right, Paul?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The other day he was talking to some of the guys and said that if the Giants had to play a game this weekend, he's pretty sure he'd be able to go. And that's great news because, as you know, Anita, when he had that ankle surgery, the expectation was that he would probably miss stuff over the spring and maybe early summer, but that he'd be ready for training camp by the time that started. The first practice, by the way, is July the 22nd. And then somehow, some way, Eli's recuperative powers have taken over and put him into such a situation where he thinks he's ready to go now. And you watch him out there, and he's taken most of the snaps and most of the reps. So, you know, it's all good as far as the Giants are concerned. Eli is way, way ahead of schedule. The only question that remains now is he going to be able to have enough time to get on the same page with some of these new targets that he has? Physically, he appears to be fine. He looks like he's in good shape. But we just don't know about the chemistry between the rest of the guys in this new offense.
So again, phone lines are open. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Again, 201-939-4513. All right, well, let's really break down the offense. Let's start with the wide receiving core. How's that? Because you're talking about the chemistry between Eli Manning, a new offense. That's going to be something to digest, like as always, and not that Eli doesn't know a pass pattern or a post or whatever. It's new verbiage. It's new language. It's understanding that language. It's being able to communicate that language in the huddle and being able to execute. No Hakeem Nicks. Victor Cruz really the number one now,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Reuben Randall, is this the year that he steps up?
He's got to do better. I mean, he was okay last year, but he's got to do better. Too many wrong routes. Whether or not you want to blame that on the system, which was very complicated, or on Reuben not getting it right, one way or the other, he's got to start getting things right. And if he's going to take that next step to become a true, productive player in this league, it's got to be now. They need him.
What about Mario Manningham? What have you seen? I know, listen, he's had micro fracture surgery on that knee, spent some time in San Francisco, now he's back. What have you seen in the OTAs that you've been here, Paul?
You know, he's working on the side with the trainers, Anita, and Coach Copeland says he's on schedule to be ready for the fall, but it's a bit of a concern because he's simply doing individual training drills. He's not running any routes. He's not taking any snaps. He's simply off on the side, and you and I both know that's something that you'd rather not see. And so, look, the good news is he and Eli know each other. So whenever he gets on the field, there will be a sense of familiarity to them. The bad news is Mario hasn't had a chance to work in this offense. And so there will be a certain amount of disconnect. The thing about it is, though, Anita, he needs to be, in my mind, the number four receiver, or at least until Beckham is ready as the three. Maybe Manningham really needs to be the three. One way or the other, he's got to be one of the top four receivers on this team because behind him, you have Jarrell Jernigan, who in my mind is still very unproven, and Holiday, who they brought over from the Broncos, and I see him more as a role player at receiver. He's a return guy, not necessarily a big part of the receiving core.
Paul Dottino, Anita Marks, talking all things offense here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Phone lines are open, 201-939-4513. Let's take our calls. Let's go out to New Jersey. Andrew, welcome. You're on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, how's it going, Paul and Anita? I'm back from Thailand.
Oh, wow.
And it reminds me of old school Italians because they go all out with their food. like mega feast. Manja.
Well, welcome
and,
home.
Thanks. It's good to be home. It's too hot there. And I was thinking, why are human beings here? And there's all these pretty ladies driving around on mopeds in the 95-degree weather. But it's definitely good to be back. And a lot of people like the picture in Thailand of Coughlin and Parcells, because I posted that on my Facebook from Giants.com, even though they don't follow it, but they all seem to like that picture.
Good stuff.
But, Shakes, I agree with yesterday you guys were asking what was the position that you're high on. Everything Paul said, the defensive tackles, I agree with, the defensive backs. I'm happy with every position group. Just the offensive line, I'm worried about injuries and the wide receivers, injuries or depth. But I like the running backs, and it sounds weird because the number one running back might not be cleared to play, but I like the draft choice and Hillis. They all seem like solid running backs. Rashad Jennings is a solid, like, classic-type running back. And I wanted to ask a trivia question for Anita, because Paul already knows, but it's a cool answer. That's why I kind of messed it up when I first said it. But speaking of running backs, in the old days, there was a running back. He's no longer with us, and he was actually a civil rights leader after he retired as the Giants running back, but not for African Americans. He was mostly Native American. Do you know who that is? Anita, Paul, don't tell her. If you remember, don't
That's
tell
not
her.
Fair. That's not fair. You're going back a little ways now.
What year
it's
was
not fair.
This? What year was this?
It was probably in like the 1940s, maybe 50s, early 50s, 40s.
I got news
and
for you.
He was,
I got news for you. I don't know either.
He was a professional running back for the Giants. He was an Olympic gold medalist. He played other professional sports. He was a movie actor.
I know it's hard to believe, but I wasn't covering the team in the 40s. I know that's hard for you to believe. And I do take a lot of pride in being a Giants historian, but I pretty much go back to the 50s, not so much to the 40s. So, Andrew, we'll talk to you another time.
So you have no idea.
If you
don't
really
know, if you don't know, how am I going to know?
I
won't know. You know everything.
Not that one.
All right, so we're going to continue to talk about the wide receiving core. Again, phone lines are open, 201-939-4513. What OTA is this, by the way? Is this nine?
Number nine.
This is number nine.
There's one more tomorrow.
That's it?
Yeah, but you know the really bad thing about this, Anita?
Okay, well, time out. So it's OTA 10 tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then what's next week? There's something next week.
Minicamp. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Next week. And then the guys are off until training camp.
They report on July 21st. First practice is July 22nd.
Here. So they're not going to Albany this year?
No Albany.
Okay. And I know a lot of them are really happy about that, actually.
Some are happy. Some are probably disappointed.
You think so? I haven't heard one guy sound disappointed. Are you disappointed? Are you going to miss Albany, Paul DeTino?
People there are nice.
People in Albany are fantastic.
Nice fields,
but what
too.
Is there to do in Albany? Nothing.
I
play golf. Bet on horses.
I'd much rather be here doing the MSG shows with you guys.
Exactly. 201-939-4513. So talking about the wide receiving corps, Victor Cruz, as we said, the obvious number one now, Hakeem Nicks, now with the Colts. Reuben Randall, is this the year that he's going to step up? Hopefully it is. Mario Manningham, his health, his knee. How will it react this season? Of course, having to learn a new system as well. Odell Beckham, his hamstring issue. Now, from what I understand, he's going to practice today. Is that right?
That's the hope.
Okay.
But you know what, Anita? He's missed several days now because of a tweak, which he says is not a big deal because apparently he had a number of hamstring issues when he was in college, or so he says, and he claims to have played through them. Well, you and I both know Coach Coughlin well enough to know that he gets very frustrated with those kinds of things. And for Odell Beckham's sake, I hope he is back out on the field today, sooner rather than later, because he can't afford to miss this kind of time. You know, the Giants need to get something out of him as a rookie. It's not going to be a situation where, you know, some rookies come in and redshirt for a little while. That's not the case. Beckham is going to have to play, and they need him to get as many reps as possible. Last week, he admitted that he's finally starting to pick up some of the stuff. But when he first got here several weeks ago, it was all new to him, and he was really overwhelmed.
I'm going to throw this question your way, and I know we've got a ton of callers. We're going to get you guys in a hot second, so please hang tight. But because this is a new system, Eli's learning it. Kind of puts everybody on the same page,
don't you
think? Especially for the rookies coming in, trying to compete, trying to win a starting job. You know, it's much more difficult to come into an organization and compete against guys, veterans, who are already familiar with the system, know a system, like the back of their hand, where really it's just athleticism for them each and every day, as opposed to having a cerebral part in learning a system, understanding a system, and then trying to execute it. But everybody's kind of on the same page here. Agree or disagree, Paul?
Oh, there's no question.
Yeah.
But there's also a flip side to that, and that is you still need to get all of those guys up to speed, and pretty quickly, because before you know it, training camp's going to be here. Now, of course, the good news is the Giants have 5 preseason games this year because of the Hall of Fame game against the Bills. So that will give these guys a little extra time to work on things and some extra snaps and live game action against opponents. So that's the benefit to the timing of the Hall of Fame game. But you know what, Anita? The one thing that I'm interested in seeing, more than anything else, because as I've watched some of the formations and some of the motion and some of the player deployment during the course of these OTAs, and by the way, this is only the third one that the media has been allowed to watch of the 9. You know, Coach is able to lock us out of a number of these. Is how is this stuff all going to manifest itself in week 1 against the Detroit Lions? Because I'm seeing a lot of things out there that they're running that are just so new to me, even. And, you know, I'm just thinking myself, if I were a player, this is pretty wild.
In what you've seen, let me preface. How much of the Green Bay Packers offense did you watch in the past year or two?
Well, over the last 5 or so years, when the Giants and them have had a lot of battles, I've gotten a chance to see a lot of it.
So are you seeing a lot of a Packers offense that now's trying to be...
Oh, yeah. It's there.
Okay.
It's kind of like you love to use that term, let something marinate for a while.
Yeah.
Well, I got news for you. The Giants are marinating in Packers offense these days.
Interesting. Again, 201-939-4513. I know we've got a ton of calls. Let's try to rock and roll through them. First up is Stu in New York. Stu, welcome to the show. What you got for us?
Hey, guys. I just had a question about the offense.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, we got this this new coordinator, Ben McAdoo, and everything, and I see that he's, like, implementing the Packers offense or something.
Right? Yeah. Well, he's using
so,
a lot
like,
of it. It's not entirely, but it's a lot of it.
Yeah. So I know that like a lot of it is going to be like a lot of 4 wide receiver sets. So I was wondering, you know, for that 4th wide receiver spot, you know, Mario Manningham, he's going to have like, you know, I hear some issues with his knee and everything. So do you think that like that will help JJ Jarrell Jernigan's emergence or what?
Well, you know, Anita, I'd like you to speak to this, too, because at the end of the season, Jarrell Jernigan had to step in for an injured Victor Cruz, played in the slot, which is truly the best spot for him in anybody's offense, and had a couple of nice games. But as you and I both know, over the course of the 3 years he's been around, he's had a lot of time on the sideline because he's been hurt. And then when he did get in there during preseason games, he didn't exactly perform very well. This is a guy who, in my mind, you know, raised the bar for a lot of people with those games at the end of last season, because I had never seen anything in his performance that indicated he could do that. So, to me, he's a show-me player. He's got a lot to prove for me to feel good about him to make this team.
Well, you know, I think you hit on a really good point, and that is, and this is a debate that we had with Victor Cruz, right? When his contract was coming to an end, and what were the Giants going to do, and what were they going to pay him? Were they going to pay him number one wide receiver money? Were they going to pay him, I call mud bugs, were they going to pay him slot receiver? I call slot receiver like a Wes Welker. like a Victor Cruz. I call them mud bugs because they're so slick and they're so quick and you can't get your hand.
I call them Smurfs.
Okay, that's fine. I kind of like mud bugs. But anyway, so mud bugs typically make anywhere between $7 million a year. Number one wide receivers typically make $12 million a year. That's what the going rate is. So what were the Giants going to pay Victor Cruz? In my opinion, Victor Cruz shines in the slot receiver role. So I'm with you. You take Jernigan and you put him in that role. And I do believe that you will see him shine. If he can pick up where he left off last year, who knows? I don't see Jarrell Jernigan as a wideout. And when the Giants put him in that position, like Kevin Gilbride did many, many times, I think it's really hard, especially him going up those corners, and corners that are a lot stronger, bigger, have a lot more upper body strength than him. If they're really physical on the line of scrimmage with him, he can't get off the line. So, I think it's going to be really interesting. How does McAdoo play him? Did they play him out of the slot? What do you do with Victor Cruz? This is going to be a very interesting year to see, okay, well, what do you do with Cruz? Do you put Cruz outside now? What have you been seeing in OTAs?
Well, one of the interesting things that I'm seeing, and the caller mentions when the Giants go four wide, they're using a lot of stand-up tight end in what I've seen in OTAs. You're seeing, I think I've said this to you before, Anita, off the air, Jeremy Shockey would be great for this offense. He really would. Because to be that stand-up tight end as the pseudo fourth receiver or the slot guy, is really what they're running a lot of. The bad news is that the Giants tight ends that are on this roster right now are not very accomplished. You know, the resumes are not very impressive. And yet, in these OTAs, we're seeing a lot of those guys running slot, running stand-up, and they're mixing and matching all kinds of bodies. I mean, that's the one thing, as I said to you before, I alluded to a little bit, is I'm really curious as to how this is going to shake down once the season starts, because the combinations and the formations that I'm seeing now are just so different, so new. I can't really get a grip as to, are they really going to use this? And I think a lot of it's experimentation. I mean, Anita, you know as well as I do, when you go into a training camp, you know, you have a fantasy. You have a delusions of grandeur that say, hey, we'd love to be able to do all of these things. I'd love to have all of these elements into my game plan. But maybe I find out during training camp that I don't have all the parts to run all of that stuff. And maybe I find out that I can only use maybe 80% of it because, you know what, these players don't fit these pegs. And that's what is a curiosity for me.
I know we've got a full bank of calls, and I'm going to get to you guys. I promise everybody's going to get on before 10:30 when Paul Dottino and I have to sign off. But real quick, I want you to comment on the tight end position, because right now Adrian Robertson is the starting tight end for this team. How does that sit with you going into training camp, the regular season? There are a number of tight ends out there available, one in particular who is getting turned away from a number of teams because of health issues, in JerMichael Finley. But do you see this tight end core adding a new piece, maybe a guy who might get cut at the end of training camp?
Yeah, I think that that's likely, Anita. I think there'll be a veteran tight end at some point in time that's going to come free, and the Giants will certainly consider bringing him in. Now, yesterday, I believe the reports were that they had Tim Crabtree, the former Buccaneer, was in for a workout.
Oh, interesting.
And he was not signed. Now, he's primarily a blocker, as you know. But, you know, they're looking. There's no question they are looking to upgrade the position. JerMichael Finley, from my understanding, there were issues with the medical reports, and so they've decided to take a pass there.
Yeah, and that's many a teams. It's not just the Giants. I mean, it's a number of teams that are interested in JerMichael Finley.
Because it's a neck.
He's such a great talent, but unfortunately, health issues may be too much of a risk for organizations to put him on the field. 201-939-4513. Let's head back out to our phone lines. We go to line one, Dave in Syracuse. Dave, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the biggest thing that they did in the offseason this year is they brought back John Beasley.
You can't be more right, my friend. he's one of my faves. He's one of my faves this year.
Well, I think ever since they brought him in last year, I mean, the defense was completely lost. You know, in those first couple games before they brought him in, and once they acclimated John Beeson into the system, everything changed. I mean, everybody's talking about how, you know, we lost defensive leaders like Justin Tuck going to Oakland, you know, and the defense was a mess. We brought in a whole bunch of, you know, key free agents this year, and now with John Beeson in the middle orchestrating, I think the Giants have a chance to be a top five defense this year.
Dave, thanks for the phone call. I think your dog in the background agrees. Let's talk about John Beeson, because one thing I'm looking at, of course, the Giants roster, the depth chart, and I'm worried about leadership in this locker room. I feel like this is a topic that I bring up each and every year. Is it not? I know.
Especially on offense.
It's like Groundhog's Day here, right? I'm sorry. I apologize. But
you don't look like a groundhog.
But I do each and every year. I you know, ever since Ahmad Bradshaw left,
Jacobs is no longer here.
Right. Tuck's gone. I'm worried about leadership. But when I look at John Beeson, and I know Antro Roll. I know Antro Roll covered him at the University of Miami, know him very well. And we know what type of leadership he's brought to this locker room and what type of respect he's gained from the players, as well as head coach Tom Coughlin. I'm sleeping a little bit easier at night when it comes to worrying about leadership with this team, because I know Antro Roll, and I know that this is it's very difficult for a player to come in mid-season like John Beeson did and come in. This is the way I like to describe it. First day of school, right? Whether you're now transferring from elementary school to junior high, right?
Yeah.
And then you make that transition from junior high to high school.
Long time ago.
And you've got to feel your way, right? You've got to feel, all right, who are my cliques that I'm going to hang out with? Where am I going to hang my locker? What sports am I going to play? You know, so it takes a minute to kind of feel your way and get comfortable with an organization. It's kind of like the first day of school for John Beeson, especially. Imagine coming in midway through the semester. That's the best analogy I could use from last year. And he still came in and played a leadership role, Paul. So I'm so excited about this year, because he's already got a half a year under his belt, huge leadership qualities that we saw last season, now an entire off season coming into this season. I think the combination with him and Antro Roll in that locker room, defense, big leadership. Where does it come on offense, Paul? Where does it come on offense?
I'll tell you what, Anita, we're going to have to see, because right now, you know, you and I both know Victor Cruz and Eli Manning are not your stand on the top of the soapbox and rah-rah you to death.
No.
That's not going to happen.
Mm-mm.
So, you know what? I tell you who's going to wind up being a leader, but he's not going to get there right away. I think Jeff Schwartz could be one. I think there's potential. We know that Chris Snee is one to a degree. He's more quiet in his ways of doing so, but he is one to some degree. I think at some point in time, Weston Richburg is going to become one. I really do.
Don't you have to be a starter?
Again, in time.
Okay.
It's not there yet.
I'm saying right now. I'm saying heading into this preseason, heading into training camp, heading into this season, 2014 for the Giants. Who's your leader on offense? Marinate in it for a second. Let's continue with our calls.
I might drown in that one.
Okay. All right. Let's go to line three.
Okay. Go ahead.
Let's go to line three. We got Matt in Connecticut. Matt, welcome.
Yeah, so I think you lost Matt. It's Kiwan from Patterson.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Yeah. How you doing? Just to answer you guys' question, a lot of people are not talking about the running back we brought in, which is Rashad Jennings. And I feel like just from his persona, his demeanor, I feel like he can be one leader, if not, you know, I know he won't be the only leader, but I feel like he can be one of those leaders, you know, one of those stand-up guys, you know, loud voices, And with his play, I remember, you know, last year he kind of burnt us. Last year he had about, I think, 80 yards when we played Oakland.
The only thing I would say about him is that he's had some injury history, and that's a concern, because you have to be able to keep him on the field. And then the other thing is, and Anita, this is part of what I'm so curious about. Mm-hmm. I think the Giants are going to have a backfield by committee. I think Jennings is going to be like the first and second down back. I don't think they're going to go to a bell cow and say he's touching the ball 25 times a game. That's not what it looks like to me.
All right, well let's since we got on this topic, let's talk about the backfield for a second. First and foremost, David Wilson, neck situation, MRI, results came back looking better but still not cleared. Obviously our hopes are that he will be cleared for training camp, but what's your gut telling you, Paul Dottino?
My gut tells me he's a bonus. I cannot count on him to be part of this mix until somebody gives me a thumbs up. And I'm sorry, necks are serious deals. I'm looking at Wilson as a bonus. I'm trying in my own mind to delineate how these snaps are going to go, given that he won't be here. And if they suddenly get the clearance, great. Whoop-de-doo, and then you figure out how to deal with it then.
Okay. Rashad Jennings, I think a really phenomenal pickup. This is a guy that has the potential to be the starting running back for the Giants, has a lot of heart, is a very cerebral player, understands the game, and you know what? There's certain players out there that you know who really appreciate and respect and look at football as an opportunity and not a right, but an opportunity, mm-hmm. and he gets it. So that's really what I love about Rashad Jennings. He knows his role. He's coming in the conversations that he's had with the media. It's evident that he loves this organization. Who wouldn't, coming from Oakland? He loves Tom Coughlin. So I'm really excited about Rashad Jennings. Andre Williams is interesting as well. Young man from Boston College. Again, very cerebral, very deep, very intellectual. Knows his goal. Really has setting huge goals for himself this season that hell or high water he wants to attain. So I love that one. So let's as you said, David Wilson is a plus. Let's look at that 1-2 punch with Rashad and Andre. I feel pretty good about it.
You should.
I do.
Let me run something by you, and we have not talked about this in our conversations. Andre Williams, when you talk to him, he seems like a third or fourth year pro. He doesn't seem like a rookie to me.
He's an old
soul. Would you agree?
He's an old soul. That's what I call an old soul.
I mean, whatever they're giving him up there at BC, it helps him grow up quickly. Because
yeah.
This guy is not a kid to
no.
me.
No, you're right.
And that's one of the things that struck me when I first met him. In addition to the fact that I watched a lot of tape on him, and I just think he's a terrific between the tackles, downhill, forceful kind of runner, excellent in short yardage, excellent in the red zone, excellent down there near the goal line, exactly the kind of guy the Giants need. Anita, I've even gone as far as to compare him as a runner to Ahmad Bradshaw. But looks like he'll be more durable. After all, he carried the ball over 300 times last season at
BC. And another thing, this is what we talked about a little bit earlier on the show, and that is even playing field for everybody in regard to everybody has to learn a new offense. You know, especially Andre Williams, first time learning an NFL offense, coming from Boston College. David Wilson having to learn a totally new offense after the 2 years he was here with Gilbride, which actually might work to his benefit because we talked about this for the past 2 years, that Gilbride's system just did not fit David Wilson as a runner.
True.
And in the talents that he puts on the table. So this new system might benefit David Wilson more so than it has in the past. And Rashad Jennings, from what I understand, this is his fifth offensive coordinator in 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody on the same playing field in regard to having to learn a new offense.
And the interesting guy here who also is in this mix, Anita, and I think he's got a really good chance to make the team. I don't think he's a lock, but he certainly looks better than he has since he got here, is Peyton Hillis, who, to me, has the ability to pick up the blitz, catches the ball well out of the backfield. I think he's a good third down back, can carry the ball when you need him to. He's lost some weight. He's really defined and cut, looks just terrific. And somebody mentioned to me yesterday, I guess, during the show, or maybe they messaged me on Twitter, is that he may even be the kind of guy you could use as an H-back, kind of like when Jim Kleinsasser was with the Minnesota Vikings. And that's an interesting thought, because maybe if the Giants don't really find what they want to find in the tight ends, maybe Hillis plays a little bit of that and finds his way onto the field some more. But I think he's an interesting running back in this mix, too.
And interesting, he's kind of that hybrid that if when you get down to training camp and you got to make those cuts, he's a guy that you can play at fullback or running back.
Numbers game, you know how that goes.
Exactly. 201-939-4513. Let's head out to line 3. We've got Matt joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Matt, welcome. You're on with Paul Dottino and Anita Marks. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Great. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I just wanted to say, with the addition of DRC, Walter Thurman, and a couple other guys on defense, I'm wondering, do you think our defense is going to be top five this year?
Ooh, good question. Thanks for the call.
Well, they were top eight last year.
Right.
After a horrible start, and then came on the last two-thirds of the season. If you look at the additions and the subtractions, the biggest subtractions, I think Anita and I would both agree, Will Hill no longer here, and Justin Tuck no longer here. Otherwise, I don't think they really lost anyone of significance in that Linval Joseph is gone, but look at the guys they have at defensive tackle. There are a ton of numbers there, and we believe Hankins is going to be a terrific player and may even turn out to be better than Joseph. So I don't know that that's a huge loss, but the question about Tuck is, how do you replace his stout defense against the run? We think Ayers is going to do a good job, but we don't know for sure. And, of course, his leadership skills. And then at safety, you'd have to say there's a drop-off between what Will Hill is able to do and whatever either Stevie Brown or Quentin Demps are able to do, simply because Will Hill was an incredible athlete. So there's going to be a little bit of maybe a drop-off on those two spots. But then when you look at what they've added, I know you like Jamil McClain, the linebacker from the Ravens, who's been brought onto this team. And I like what I see from him, too, in addition to the guys they signed in the secondary.
Well, let's break down, since now we're kind of transitioning over to the defensive side of the ball. Again, phone lines are open, 201-939-4513. Paul Dottino, Anita Marks with you. Big Blue Kickoff Live with you for the next 30 minutes. OTA number 9 today. As soon as we get off, media will be able to watch the OTA. Now, are we allowed to watch the entire OTA? Or
yeah.
We are.
The whole thing.
Oh, look how excited you are.
Start to finish.
You're
even
so
the closing credits.
You are so excited.
I love it.
Weather here in East Rutherford is not supposed to be great today. So does that mean that are we inside?
I would be very surprised if we're not in the field house.
Okay. So probably more than likely in the field house. As soon as OTA's the practice is over, then players will be made available to the media. So we'll go in, we'll talk to the players. Those interviews will be posted on Giants.com throughout the course of the rest of the week, and I believe as well heading into Monday and Tuesday. So make sure you stay tuned to Giants.com for all that good inside information. And of course, John Schmelk is back on tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow, by the way, is the final OTA. It's number 10,
right,
which the media is not allowed to see. We're not here tomorrow. John will be here to do the show, of course. And then the players have off until Tuesday when they have to come back for the mini camp, which is
right,
mandatory.
Right.
This, by the way, is voluntary,
right,
but everybody showed up anyway.
Well, they also, don't they get a little something-something if they show
Some
up?
Some of the guys do.
Yeah, it's in their contract, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so 201-939-4513. Just kind of want to give you, our itinerary for the day. But let's break down the defense. As you said, no Justin Tuck. Jason Pierre-Paul, JPP, really has to step up in a big way. Kiwanuka's still here, obviously. That provides some leadership in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
But Jenkins, Hankins, you said, Robert Ayers, new, of course. A guy that I'm really excited about is Jamil McClain, who's coming in from Baltimore. Knew him and covered him when he was with the Ravens. They were really excited to draft him and bring him in, so I know what he can do. John Beeson, we talked about. Spencer Passenger, is this the year that maybe he takes another step up and elevates his game? I think the secondary, you can argue, maybe one of the best in the NFL.
It's got to be up there on paper.
Right?
On paper.
So in looking at this defense, I think you can elaborate a little bit more about the defensive line, but I'm really excited about the linebacking core. I don't think we've seen a linebacking core this good as a unit. I know there's some question marks about Passenger and Jaquan Williams and Mark Herzlick, assuming that the three of them are going to compete for that position.
Kennard also, the rookie out of USC, is going to compete probably for the backup middle linebacker spot against Herzlick. And
okay,
I think that's going to be a fun battle in the preseason.
Okay, so there will be a battle there, but maybe arguably one of the best linebacking cores you've seen since at least I've been here. I'm going on my fifth year.
Well, the last few years it's been kind of weak.
Yeah.
And so now at least they've got some guys to choose from. I need to ask you something because we haven't had you on the show during the offseason, and you mentioned McClain with the Ravens. For the Giants fans who have no idea what he brings to the table because maybe they haven't watched a lot of AFC football, my understanding is run stopper. I certainly look at him as a straight ahead guy, athletic. I want you to give me a capsule on him from what you know about him. I can tell you that at one point the Ravens, I believe, wanted him to succeed Ray Lewis in the middle. They thought Lewis was going to retire a year or two earlier and that McClain would be their new middle linebacker. But, of course, Lewis hung around a couple of extra years, and that kind of short-circuited that. But what can you tell the Giants fans about this guy from Baltimore?
I hate to use that phrase that you hear a lot of the analysts use when you're watching the draft, but great motor. Great motor, strong, great against the run, quick, can defend tight ends if they go out on pass routes, and just brings it. I mean, lunch pail kind of guy. Just brings it.
Looks like he's a good straight ahead attacking the line, could be used as a blitzer in the sub package. That's what I see. Did they use him in that frame of the scheme at all?
I've really been
no when seeing, we when he first got there.
I've
though.
Been
no.
He was. I mean, he was new. He was fresh. He was young. He was competing. He was. You know, his role with the Ravens was not what it was then.
Right. Okay.
What it was before he came here.
I got
so,
you.
But I can tell you how excited the coaches were about him. I could tell you what the sky was, you know, how excited they were, what kind of level he could reach, what he meant to the organization, where they thought that he would develop into.
He got banged up a little bit too, didn't he? Didn't he have a little bit of an injury situation? I think he had at one point might have had a concussion that slowed him down, and maybe also had a leg injury too. But nonetheless,
I will tell you this:
he's a hitter.
Ravens are upset he's gone. Ravens are upset that he's no longer with the organization.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take that.
Okay. 2019. You don't seem as excited about him as I do.
I don't know enough about him.
Okay.
You know? I mean, I've seen him a little bit in terms of watching some Ravens games the last few years, but to be honest with you, Anita, I never remember watching a Ravens game and, like, just like, wow, I like that guy. I don't remember him sticking out in any of the games that I saw that make me
because
like, jump for joy.
Ray Lewis and Ed Reed always stick out.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, when you're playing a complimentary role to those Hall of Famers, you're not going to light up, you know, the lights.
It's like Bart Scott. No one, I bet you,
I
wouldn't be surprised if 50% of the people in the NFL don't realize that Bart Scott actually played for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, right.
You think Bart Scott, you think Jets. Because that's really when he got his opportunity to shine.
So I want to wait and see, but what I have seen so far is good.
Right.
But let's get him on the field to hit people.
All right, let's continue with our calls. 201-939-4513. Let's go to line one. We have Dominic calling in from Pennsylvania. Dominic, welcome to the show, Big Blue Kickoff Live. How you doing?
Okay, doing good. I just wanted to make a comment, then I had a question. You know, there's a lot on defense, so I don't worry about defense at all. I think we're forgetting that we still have Colin Jenkins and Mike Patterson. Now, it's hard to say that, you know, who's going to make the 53, but we do have veterans who seem not to be running out of gas. And then, looking at Colin Jenkins' career, he's good for 5 sacks, you know, every season. That's just what, you know, what my numbers and my research say. But the key to leadership, in my opinion, with the offense would probably be Jeff Schwartz. And I said that when I saw that they interviewed him, and, you know, he made a comment, and the comment was that he's here to win a championship. So to me, those words, you know, a lot of people talk, but those words have echoed with me throughout, you know, this offseason because – I think that the desire and the willingness to fight in the trenches has been missing in the offensive line. And I think that the key to leadership, whether he steps to the plate as the leader on offense or not, remains to be seen. But I think that the ability to fill a hole in protecting the quarterback is the primary thing that's been missing in the last season or the last 2 seasons. And I really think that Jeff Schwartz would be the one to lead the offense. And I know, you know, no one wants to hear that because everyone's got their star favorites, you know, the Victor Cruises, the Eli Mannings. But what makes it all gel is giving Eli time to hit his targets. The question that I had was, Is any word on when training camp is going to start?
They have to report on July 21st, and the first practice is July 22nd. And that will be here at the Quest Diagnostic Center at the Giants Complex. Anita, let me ask you, because you've had some dealings with Jeff Schwartz recently. When the caller says he seems to have the right attitude and he wants to win a championship, speak to that a second, because, you know, you've had a better chance to talk to him than I have. I get a sense that he is that kind of guy who's not afraid to speak up and speak his mind and say, hey, fellas, you know, we gotta do what we gotta do to win. Am I seeing that right?
Oh, absolutely. Jeff is ecstatic to be here. He's not looking at this as just a one-year deal. You know, he wants to cement his career here. He wants to be one of the best offensive linemen. He wants to help this unit. He wants to help Eli. In my conversations with him, he's extremely excited about this offense. He said it's just going to take time, again, because it's so new, and everybody's, even the quarterback, is learning it. So there's not a lot of tutelage that Eli Manning could provide to the players because he's learning it as well. Jeff said it's just going to take a minute for everybody to really digest it and be able to execute it properly. But once that comes together, he's really excited for it. And I don't want to use the word journeyman because he's not that old. He's not old at all, actually. But he's played for the Carolina Panthers, spent last year with Andy Reid in the Kansas City Chiefs, and now he's here. I know that he's got immense respect for Tom Coughlin. He loves Snee. Snee is like kind of his mentor, is kind of taking him under his wing. Thinks the world of Eli Manning, and really wants to win a champion, and totally believes that this team has the talent, the ability, now the offensive scheme, to win a championship, and he's thrilled to be here. So I mean, Jeff Schwartz is a tremendous, tremendous addition to this offensive line. Let's go one step further. Will Beatty, what have you seen from him, if anything? How's his knee doing? Do you think he'll be ready for regular season game one, Paul?
He's another guy, Anita, who's working on the side with the trainers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not able to do anything right now other than the film reps in the study, you know, in study hall. And so Tom Coughlin says we expect him to be ready by the fall. But can anybody put a guarantee on that? No. This guy had a serious leg injury. And so, you know, that's a concern. As I look at it, I go into training camp saying to myself, the Giants have James Brewer backing him up. And, you know, his resume to this point is not very impressive. And they signed Charlie Brown, a guy who was let go by the Saints for a variety of reasons, mostly that he didn't play very well. So the Giants at left tackle don't have a lot right there behind Will Beatty if he's not able to medically get himself together in time for opening day. It is an issue for me. I do want to go back to your point about Jeff Schwartz, though, for a second, Anita, and I don't want to throw you off here, but when the Giants signed this slew of free agents in the offseason, and mm-hmm. we talked about it during the course of the weeks as it was happening, and, you know, we would both be saying to each other, wow, look at this. I mean, Jerry's really going to town. I think it's 15 or 16 veteran free agents that they signed from other teams. If I'm not mistaken now, because I had done this check some weeks ago and I'm forgetting, I think 12 of them have been on playoff teams in the last 2 years, and like 8 of them have been on one of the Super Bowl teams in the last 3 years. So you're talking about young veterans who they brought in, not old guys, but young veterans who they brought in who have experience and who have won something in this league. Even if they didn't actually get the ring, they've been to the playoffs, they've experienced the pressure, they've experienced what it is to have a winning attitude, they've put a lot of W's on their belts. And I think that's good, because when you ask me the question about, well, who the leader's going to be, well, in some way, I think the kind of guy they brought in is going to make that locker room gel a lot quicker and a lot easier than it would otherwise. And maybe when Tom Coughlin says leaders have to develop and it they just kind of grow out of the situation, I think he's optimistic that that's going to happen because of the kinds of guys they brought in. You follow?
Absolutely. 201-939-4513. Let's continue with our calls. Paul Dottino, Anita Marks with you for another 15 minutes. So we're going to try to rock and roll, make sure we get all of you on this morning. Let's go to line four, Paul. We're going to Derek joining us in Atlanta. Derek, welcome.
Hey, welcome, Anita.
Thank you.
Welcome back, and how you doing today, Paul?
Very good. How are you?
I'm well. I got a couple of things. I want to talk about some of the offense and defense, but for offense, I think the Giants are going to be just fine. Obviously, the line was broken last year, and, you know, the Giants normally average around 25 points a game. Last year, I think we got around 18.
Mm-hmm.
That's only about a seven-point difference. I think with the new line, the new improved line play that I think we'll have this year, and the running game with Rashard Jennings, I think that'll give us at least 7 points more in the game. I also think that the special teams will also put us in better field position to add another field goal to a game, to the score. As far as the offensive leaders or whatever, you know, Victor Cruz, I don't know if you need that many of them, but I would like to see one more wide receiver with some energetic. Maybe hopefully we get that from Beckham. You know, when Victor Cruz catches a pass for a first down or something, gets up and he celebrates a little bit, you know, I need to see somebody else like that on the offense. I think we're going to have Rashard Jennings when he knocks over linebackers and safeties. I think he'll give us the attitude that we want to see. And so I just need one more player besides Victor Cruz and Rashard Jennings to give us some energy to the offense. And I think we'll be okay there.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons they brought back Mario Manningham. They're hoping he can do it. The problem is we just don't know about his knee right now. But if Mario is able to rehab that knee fully and become what he had been in the past for the Giants, I think you and I both said it ad infinitum when he went to San Francisco. They missed him, Anita. They absolutely missed him.
Well, they missed him because Mario Manningham was a guy who was able to come in and stretch the field. So now, like hypothetically speaking, if his knee is what it needs to be in order for him to play, is he still going to have that burst? Is he still going to have that speed? Is he still going to be able to be that stretch the field type of threat? And if he's not, who on this team is, Paul?
Then the hope is Beckham will be. So we're going to have to see. But first things first, fingers crossed for Mario.
Okay, let's go to, I'm not sure what line this is. Mike in Connecticut?
Is that one? Try it.
No, Mike. Nope. One is John in Florida. It's fine.
Okay.
John, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. How are you?
How you doing, Anita? Hey, Paul, what's up, brother?
Good to talk to you.
Listen, this kid, Andre, that they picked up, this rookie.
Williams.
Have you noticed yes, exactly. Have you noticed, have they been working on his pass-catching ability, or if he has any at all?
Well, he only caught 10 passes in his career at Boston College, and so he admits that he hasn't had a lot of practice at it. They're using him somewhat in that regard, but right now they're just trying to get him down with the running plays. Because let's face it, as Anita said earlier, he's mature beyond his years, and they're going to need him in this running back rotation. I see him as the short yardage guy, the red zone guy, the goal line offense guy, because he's got the skill set to get those things done. So their first priority is to get him comfortable with those facets of the offense and deal with the hand stuff later on. He's got to get down those running plays first. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, exactly.
Because that's where he's going to make an immediate impact on this team. They got a guy who can catch the ball. Hillis can catch the ball. Rashard Jennings can catch the ball. Wilson can if he comes back. So let Andre Williams concentrate on one sector of the playbook and let him do it well because he's going to be good.
Good. I'm real excited about this year. I'm saying 9 wins at a minimum. I'm hoping for 10, but, you can't have the world. But I think we got real aggressive on the defense this year as far as free agents. So I'm pretty and offense. I'm pretty happy. I think we're going to do good. I think Eli's going to have a good comeback year.
Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Really quick, before we continue with our calls, I see the schedules here, and I know, it's way too early to do this, okay, to sit here. I'm not going to ask you, well, what do you think the record's going to be? I'm not going to do that, but I do want to go through it real quick. Starting off against the Lions, huge game, obviously, kicking off on primetime.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
And that's at Detroit,
yeah.
Motor City, Fast Track.
And a team that's still
new
on
head
the ups.
Coach, new head coach.
Yeah, they're on the ups. I think they're going to be competitive. They'll be ready for the game.
Home against the Cardinals, who I really think kind of flew low on the radar last year. I don't think people realized how good the Cardinals, especially on defense.
The last 6 weeks, they were real good.
One of only, you know, just a few teams, if any, that were able to beat the Seattle Seahawks last year. And then the Texans. What a mess that is. And then they're at Washington. New head coach, John Gruden's younger brother, mm-hmm. Jay Gruden. New head coach. Quarterback Brainiac as a head coach. So working with RG3. Interested to see the offense that the Redskins are. I this is my goal this year. I'm not going to use. I'm just going to call them Washington.
Okay.
Yeah. So anytime I say that, I want you to hit me. It's my goal. It's my goal this year. I'm gonna refer to them as Washington.
I can't hit you.
Because you know, I want to be sensitive to the situation.
I understand.
Then the Atlanta Falcons, looking to rebound this year from.
Boy, that Sean Weatherspoon injury is really rough for them. He's a good player.
Yeah, he is.
Really good player on defense.
At Philadelphia, no longer with DeSean Jackson, who's a Giants killer, but they do have Darren Sproles now. They improve their offense in the draft.
But is Foles really going to be that good this year? How could anybody duplicate what he did last season? He was so good with the football.
So you're just saying that it was a fluke last year?
Fluke or not, he's going to throw at least 10 picks. Nobody's going to go through a season throwing single-digit picks again. No, it's not going to happen.
And then it's Eagles, Cowboys, 1-2 punch. Both on the road. Cowboys struggling right now.
Yeah, you know, it's funny about the Cowboys. I'm curious. The questions come up today about where's the leadership on the Giants. Where's the leadership on Dallas? Ratliff is gone. Sean Lee is out for the year with injury. DeMarcus Ware is gone via free agency. Where's the leadership on that team, especially on defense? I personally believe, although, you know, it was a great pick to get Zach Martin down there along their offensive line, I think the Cowboys are rather in disarray going into this season.
Colts here, and then they have to travel cross country to take on the Seattle Seahawks, who are going to look to try to defend their title. And then they're back here against the 49ers. That's a tough 1-2 punch. Seahawks and 49ers back-to-back, two very tough defenses.
Oh, Colts, Seahawks, Niners, three in a row is a tough one coming off of the bye.
That's tough.
Sure
Cowboys,
is.
Jags, Titans, Washington, Rams, at St. Louis. And then they end with the Eagles.
See what
the schedule doesn't scare me. I'm not like, oh, this. How are they going to be? But it's a competitive schedule. I'm not saying it's a really extremely difficult schedule, but it's a competitive schedule this year.
What I told the callers yesterday, Anita, is that I really believe when you get down to the final five games of the regular season, it's probably about as tame as you could ask for, because you only have two division rivals. Both of those are home games, and then the other three games don't even involve out-of-division rivals. And as you and I both know, we've seen the Giants end the season with three or four or five rough games in a row, and it takes a lot of gas out of you in December. That's not the case this year.
Real quick, before we continue with our calls, and we've got three more callers on, we'll get to you before we do sign off on the show, and that is there's talks right now about the Hard Knocks.
Right.
Okay, and so the teams that are still left that they're considering, Giants.
Please, no.
Pittsburgh. Chicago. And the Rams. And obviously, you know, because of the whole Michael Sam situation, the Rams would more than likely get the largest viewing audience. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Roger Goodell was to call HBO and say, listen, not this year. You know what I mean? Give it a year. Give it a year. So I have a feeling it's going to either come down to the Giants, the Steelers, or the Bears this year. How do you feel if Hard Knocks is here?
I don't want any part of it. I really don't.
Because in the world, we'll see how crazy you are. That's why you don't want a part of it.
Oh, you're really sweet. You know that?
That's why you don't want a part of it.
Thanks, dear. I appreciate that.
Let's continue with our calls. Let's race through Shakes calling in. That's line two. Shakes in Baltimore. Shakes, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Well, this is not Shakes.
Hold
this
on.
Is Jeff in Rhode Island.
Oh, okay, Jeff.
Jeff, I'm angled here with the numbers. I couldn't see them straight. That's my bad.
All right, so Shakes, hang tight. That's, we've got Jeff in Rhode Island.
Shakes can chill out for a while. He's got, I understand he's got his own show going anyway, so.
Does he really?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Anyways, I called and I wanted to talk about Andre Williams, a running back from Boston College, but somebody kind of beat me to it. I was going to ask you what your initial impression of him was. You've already done that. I still think that we need to do more with the offensive line. I'm not thoroughly convinced that our offensive line is as good as it needs to be yet. I know there's plenty of time to do things between now and the beginning of the season. And also, I've heard the past few days some Giants callers complaining or whining about the schedule. I mean, the Giants' strength of schedule is 28th out of 32. It's not that difficult. I mean, and, you know, if you want to be a big-time team, you got to get out there and play like a big-time team.
The only thing I would say, John, is that John, it is John, right?
Jeff,
I'm sorry. I apologize. Jeff. It's a J, though. I got that right.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say to you is that, as we all know, injuries play so much of a factor. So when you look at the schedule in the preseason, very rarely is it exactly as you planned it out to be. There were going to be ebbs and tides and flows to that schedule that you just did not expect.
Oh, absolutely. But would you agree with me about the offensive line, the state of the offensive line as it is now?
I think my partner and I have been talking about this offensive line for a couple of years now. So, yeah. We would agree very strongly.
Yeah, we still need more help there. I don't know how they'll address it, but I believe we still – and, I can't see John Mara going allowing this Pod Knox Baloney to be part of the Giants. I just can't see him allowing that to happen.
Well, let me just say this. And Jeff, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Yep.
We're getting some feedback on Twitter that we're being short with the calls today. Well, we're being short with the calls because we're getting a ton of calls. And we want to make sure that we get everybody on. And we can only go until 10:30, maybe 5 minutes after. So I apologize. I don't mean to be short with the calls, Giants fans. But we have a boatload of calls today, and we're really thrilled. We love the audience participation. That's what we're here for. But we just want to make sure we can get everybody on.
The comment about Hard Knocks, by the way, I don't think either Tom Coughlin or John Mara want the show here.
Yeah,
but
people,
the league says we really need to get a rotation going.
Yeah, Giants fans need to understand there's because HBO, which this is their 10th season. Can you believe that? Hmm. Can you believe Hard Knocks has been around for 10 years?
It's amazing.
The NFL and Roger Goodell have gotten involved, and teams really have to participate. There's a few rules. If you have a new head coach, you're eliminated from the equation. If you've gone to the playoffs in the past 2 years, you're eliminated from the equation.
Okay.
And then there's one more criteria that eliminates you.
I didn't even know that. So
yeah,
that's
there's
good stuff.
One more criteria that eliminates you from the equation, and then it leaves like maybe a handful of teams. And then, of course, Hard Knocks wants to pick the team that's going to get the most viewership. And again, I'm saying Rams. But do you really want the Rams? Do you really want Hard Knocks at that facility and everything that's going on with Michael Sam? I just don't think it would be wise. So I'm thinking it's going to be Giants, Steelers, or Bears. So only time will tell.
Okay.
Let's rock and roll through these. Let's go to line one. We've got Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, welcome.
Speaking of the Washington team, Jim Thorpe, I just want to give you the answer. Jim Thorpe, famous legend, historical figure. There's a town named after him. He negotiated contracts for Native American actors, equal pay. So I just thought that was cool that he was a Giant, like from a historical.
Oh, that was your trivia question from earlier, Andrew.
Uh-huh.
Okay, great.
And
we're glad,
we're glad
to get the answer. Thanks.
The name with the Redskins, one commentator had it best. Yes, at the time that the name was used, it was positive and the coach was Native American. But in the modern era, that term is no longer positive, or it's not used, just like you would say colored or black. My mom said when she was a kid, if you said someone was black, that was a mockery, a slander, but nowadays it's not. So the meanings of words change. So in 2014, it's a negative way to speak about
Andrew,
someone.
Thanks for calling us back and getting us that answer.
All right, let's continue. Let's go to line four. We have Roy calling in from South Carolina. Roy, welcome.
Hey, thanks, guys. Anita, good to hear your voice again.
Thank you. It's great to be back. I'm excited. I'm excited to see this OTA later on this afternoon.
Absolutely. Where have you been, if I can ask?
Well, I mean, in the off season, I host my sports talk radio show on NBC. I teach a sports business class at NYU, and I started a real estate company that caters to professional athletes. And I'm playing less golf and trying to make more money. And then I'll be back for the football season.
And so, if I may add, when she's not here, I feel like the punter without a long snapper. So I'm glad she's back too.
You're funny.
Yeah, well, and Paul, I always enjoy you. And, you know, Paul, you and I, you know, although I was first introduced to the Giants when Tarkenton was on the team by my dad. And
so was I, my friend. So was I.
And so, and now I'm back as a Giant fan. I bleed blue. You know, like you, I am a big, you know, running game guy and, you know, just pound the ball. And you know, your last caller did kind of take my thunder, because I'm hoping that we can just shore up that left tackle and give Eli just that little bit of extra protection, so we can give him that time. And you know, that's what I was going to say. And as always, I enjoy you guys, and it's good to hear you again, Anita. And I did want to say, Anita, Redskins is not offensive.
Well, I mean, hey, listen, to each, thank you very much for the phone call. I appreciate it. To each their own, and for folks out there who do feel that it's offensive, I just want to respect their thoughts. Let's take one more caller. What is this, line two?
Looks like two.
Okay. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. How you doing? You're our last call. Let's end it strong.
Ah, throw me last. The guy Jeff was like, oh, no, he got his own show. Throw him last. Ah. I was like, oh, man.
Shakes, we finally got to you, Shakes. It's okay.
I see, man. Wow, because I got my own show now. But, yeah, check out the Shakedown, though. Yeah, plug. But, Anita,
yeah.
you come around once every year. You like a birthday.
I'll take that as a compliment.
No, we need to hear more of you. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. I do appreciate that.
No problem. I wanted to answer some of these things that y'all was talking about. First, I'm going to answer the offensive leader should be. And I don't know why it's not looking, we're not looking at him right now as the leader right now. He's the main guy, and that's Eli Manning. I mean, he's the main guy. So he has to lead this offense. Everything goes on Eli. He has a bad year, we have a bad year.
Well, that's understood, Shakes. I don't think anybody would dispute that, but he's also not the kind of guy who's going to get on a Broadway stage and do a song and dance for you. That's not the way Eli is.
Yeah, Eli leads on the field by his play. A lot of times, like, you know, I'll hear fans say, you know, Eli throws an interception, he walks off, he shakes his head, he doesn't care. He cares. You know, everybody has a different way of leading. Everybody has a different leadership style or leadership way of leading their troops, because let's face it, the quarterback is the field general, and Eli has a certain way, but he's not a rah-rah cheerleading guy in the locker room. That's just not him. You know, that's an Antrel role. You know, everybody leads differently. So,
hey, bottom line is this, okay? He does what he does. He's been successful at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
He's still pretty darn good at what he does. So there's no reason to ask him to change.
Right.
So,
Paul, it has been an absolute blast. I believe you and I are back next Thursday hosting Big Blue Kickoff Live.
During minicamp.
Yeah, from what I understand. Hopefully I'm right. Still a lot more to come. OTAs, practice this afternoon. We'll be there in full effect, watching, reporting. We'll have our end-of-the-day report a little bit later on Giants.com. We'll have an opportunity to talk to the players. Those interviews will be posted on Giants.com a little bit later on this afternoon. So make sure you revisit the website, one of the best websites out of all the 32 teams in the NFL, if you don't mind me saying so myself, because Neely is one of the best in the business. So make sure you tune in for that. Have a great day. And John Schmelk will be hosting tomorrow, so make sure you tune in to Big Blue Kickoff Live tomorrow with John Schmelk. And I look forward to speaking with you all next week. Sounds good, Paul?
Very good.
Let's do it.
Bye.